Hello and welcome to the Never Loved Elvis podcast. It's a music commentary podcast which discusses music, gigs we've been to, anything in between. It's the perfect blend of knowledge, ignorance and humour. Thanks for listening.
I'm not an anarchist, but I know man who is. This is Never Loved Elvis.
Nice topical reference.
And it is. And joining me on this musical journey are Bez, Pete and Ian. Good evening, gents. How are we all?
I am very good. Thank you very much. You?
Hi there. All right.
Very well, thank you.
Good. Well, thank you very much for your ears, listeners. But I'm actually interested in what has been grabbing Ian's eyes and ears this week. Ian, what you got for us?
Oh, got a couple of things. First one that's interested me was ABBA. Now, ABBA don't usually spark much interest in me, but they've been doing this, they've launched this tour, their Voyage tour, to something exemplary reviews. And so that caused me to have a little bit of a like, well, what's all this about? Must have a little bit of a snoop and see what's going on. And they're saying they're not holograms, but they appear to be sort of like holograms or projections created by Industrial Light and Magic. responsible for several notable films and special effects.
They're not officially holograms, but they look, smell, touch, and feel like holograms, yeah?
Yeah, exactly that, yeah. Featuring what the band are enjoying, wittily calling avatars.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's gone down absolutely brilliantly. They're like, you know, there's a live band playing the show, you know, playing the tunes. They've taken the vocal tracks from the original recordings, remastered them a little bit, and they're playing those, right? And you've got these projections, holograms, whatever, of the band on stage. They've even built in like those like weird lull gaps between the songs, and they've built in like, you know, manufactured a couple of occasions of songs for you to go to the bar, that sort of stuff. So they've really, really thought about it. But ultimately, it's a bit weird, right? But that was fine. But the thing that interested me was the fact that this show, right, it started last week, something like that, and it's going to run every night, 7 days a week until December, right, in the same arena in London. And, whoa, you know, the band are obviously elsewhere, you know, in retirement, what have you, laughing. But also, like, this can run simultaneously in other countries. And
yep.
It's quite a weird and strange concept, but it's one
in
that...
In perpetuity as well. It could just go on forever.
Well, this is exactly it, mate. So, you know, you can imagine, I think Jimmy Page has already come out and said, yeah, they were approached. So Led Zeppelin were approached to do it. And before ABBA, and the only reason they didn't do it was that the three surviving members, John Paul Jones and Robert Plant and himself, they couldn't agree. So they went, nah, it's not for us then. So, you know, obviously it's gone to ABBA. One can't help think there's, you know, bands like Queen, Fleetwood Mac, starting to get a little bit excited, right?
The Beatles, Elvis. Yeah, I mean, I can see somewhere like Vegas being just full of it for forevermore. Why would we need
imagine,
to pay?
I can't imagine Elvis getting excited about it. Yeah. I don't know if it was the Carter Forum, Facebook thing. It was just a post someone wrote, and it was like, I never thought I would see crowd surfing at an ABBA gig. I don't know if it was that one or if it was a different one. So someone obviously was, and they went, and someone was like going, yeah, but it's just going to be like robots every time. It'll just be exactly the same. He's like, yeah, but I only went once, and it was brilliant.
You probably don't need to go again, right? And even like they were even saying because the music's live. You know, a couple of the songs had a slightly quicker tempo, so it sort of felt a little bit different. There was a couple of noticeable differences musically, which is what you want when a band play live, right? So they've But it's so bloody manufactured, though, isn't it? It's tweaked and just like, you know.
I've got so many issues with it. One, with it being ABBA anyway, I can't stand them. But more importantly, the fact that it's filling up a theatre every night for, 6 months, is blocking other people from playing there. I get it that it could be an interesting concept in the right place. I'm not sure a theatre's the right place, but maybe a cinema. I don't know where a cinema-type price would feel appropriate as well. But if you're not seeing these people live, what are you actually watching? And why are you going to watch it? Is it not something that could be enjoyed on TV instead, just watching an old concert video? It hasn't grabbed me, and I can't imagine it ever.
I agree with you, Kev. I agree with you. I can't see it being a positive thing for the music industry. But like as a one-off experience, and maybe not ABBA or whatever, it must be quite, because I don't know how well it's done, and I've not seen any clips of it. It must be done pretty well.
I don't doubt it would be.
I'm sure it's done beautifully and amazing, and the technology is amazing and everything else. But it's not what they're pitching it as, which is like live music experience. And I agree with everything Kev just said. It sounds awful and
almost sounds like the death of music to me. Yeah.
But like, if this was something, you know, an attraction at Disneyland, yeah, you'd go in and see the ABBA show, wouldn't you? Because it'd be quite cool. And that would be sort of in the context of novelty and everything else. But the idea that this is going out to a gig.
Well, it's not the first time,
sitting,
is it?
They're sitting at home on their sofas. And the worst thing is they're playing new songs in it as well, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, so they are.
Flogging a new album while they're sitting on their sofas too.
It's interesting because some of the reviews were saying, oh, you know, you forget you're in a gig towards the end of it. Sorry, you forget it, you know, it's all projections on holograms. You forget that it's artificial at the end of it. Maybe that's just because the fans are so fanatical. But like you, Kev, I know you just said it feels like it could be the death of music. It feels like we're entering a very dodgy new era with that.
Yeah,
it's not good.
We've seen a lot of the big stars selling their back books of business.
Their music catalogue, yeah.
Music catalogues. I'm wondering whether image rights are included in that, and the private equity firms that are buying them are viewing this as if I was to buy Madonna's full back book of business plus image rights, I could be doing this every night for 50 years quite easily and filling it out and selling it out. And I'm wondering whether that's where that's coming from.
It's sad, isn't it? I don't like that. It's been done before, wasn't it? The Tupac at Coachella, wasn't that?
I think
The start of it, really, wasn't it? I wasn't dabbing then.
And way. I thought Elvis had actually been done before as well.
Yeah, I think he has. Yeah,
I thought he had.
No, you've said that, yeah.
Yeah.
They always roll it out as this hologram technology, and it's not holograms at all. It's just like projecting onto a bit of netting, isn't it?
I think. I have no idea.
I haven't looked into it too much, but yeah, okay, that's interesting. An interesting development. I'm not saying a positive one, but an interesting one nonetheless.
I thought it was interesting that Led Zeppelin turned it down, or that Jimmy Page turned it down. Mm. You know, so it obviously. Maybe the pound signs weren't big enough. I don't know. Or maybe the money wasn't important. But I like the fact that they couldn't agree on it and turned it away. Nonetheless.
I think the rule should be you can do it, but you can't be alive. So you can't be. It's got to be a reason to do it, as in no one else can see you, and you can't profit from it because you've got to go out and do some work. So that I will go and see anyone that does this. As long as
but then who's profiting from it though? Then the record label.
Wait for the Doors to do it.
Yeah, not sure. Anyway, moving on. Pete, how about you? What's been grabbing your eyes and ears this week?
Well, a couple of things. First one, just a quick one, is social media. We've been following, and I know we've all been following this the last couple of weeks, the Facebook group, the Best Indie Album Ever. And so for the uninitiated, this is a brilliant Facebook group where every day the admins post two albums and pitch them against each other. So two indie albums, a good example being there was a battle between Oasis's Definitely Maybe and Leveller's Level in the Land. And everyone votes on which one they think wins out. And they're working through, I think, 150 indie albums and going to come up with their final one by pitching them all against each other. But it's brilliant. It's really tough to choose because they pitch really different albums that are both epic against each other. Everyone votes for each one and there's some surprising results. And then the comments are really passionate and really brilliant as well. And pleasingly, unlike the Neville Elvis Hall of Fame, where the Levellers were cruelly pushed out by Led Zeppelin, some unknown band from the 70s.
You've not mentioned that. You've not mentioned that before, mate.
The Levellers beat Definitely Maybe, and the comments backed it up. So I screenshotted it, tweeted it to the Levellers, and Mark, the lead singer of the Levellers, liked my tweet. So we're essentially best friends now as well.
Oh, he liked it.
Yeah, he liked it. Yeah. So we're all good.
Did you get him to record a sting for the show, or was that
tweet you were going to send?
I think he's kind of expressed through his liking and retweeting of my work that he'd like to take our relationship quite slowly.
Sure. Yeah.
Nonetheless, he's interested.
Yeah. I think it was now.
I think it was a sympathy like.
I don't think it was. I think if he's going to like it, he's going to genuinely like it. Yeah. I've just looked on it now and I've not seen this. So this was only posted in the last half an hour. Joy Division, Unknown Pleasure, is up against Echo and the Bunnymen, Porcupine. I've not heard Echo and the Bunnymen, that album. So I have just voted for Unknown Pleasure, and it is, let's just say, it's hammering Echo and the Bunnymen.
Mm. Interesting. I like the concept of pitching people against one another and kind of battling us out in the same way we have the Never Loved Elvis Hall of Fame. But unfortunately missed out on that one, Pete, but pleased I got through to the next round on that. Anything else, Pete? What else have you been grabbing your eyes and ears?
I was just wondering, Kev, sorry, just on that same one. Sorry, Pete, what Pete was talking about. Did you see Ride Spiritualized?
Yesterday, wasn't it?
Ride Nowhere, Spiritualized, Ladies and Gentlemen, We Are Floating in Space. That was they were up yesterday, that's what they were up against. Which did you vote for?
I can't remember.
Okay. I voted for Spiritualized.
Well, we'll go for Spiritualized.
I thought that was a tough one. Right, go on. Anyway, move
on. In other news, we have been celebrating Jubilee Weekend this weekend, haven't we? And I'm not going to talk about the boy band cover band that I saw on Lion Green, which is our local green, on Sunday night. I'm talking about the Queen's Jubilee concert. I don't know if you guys have checked this out yet. So this was a 3-hour concert outside Buckingham Palace.
And I looked, saw Craig David was on, and then stopped looking.
I thought you were going to say saw Craig David was on, saw press pause, and just admired his fine form for a little while.
I was going to say something about rewinding.
He did do that. I sat down and watched it with the kids.
Yeah, what did you think?
Mate, it was all right. You know, you got to take it for what it is. I did find out, I was watching Queen, or what was left of Queen, fronted by Adam Lambert, and thinking, where's John Deacon? Where's John Deacon? I had to look it up. Turns out he hasn't played with them for years. I had no idea.
He
played his last gig after, I think, less than a year after.
He retired really early. As you know, I know his son pretty well, and he's just quite happy taking it all in and not doing much anymore.
Just chilling out in Putney, apparently.
He wasn't particularly happy with the limelight any time anyway, so he was always quite happy to take a back seat and let the others do it.
Adam Lambert, who is now fronting the band, who seems to enjoy the limelight. But I actually enjoyed the gig. I thought it was good, and highlights for me, diversity, I thought were good.
Epic,
I quite liked Duran Duran. They made me smile. Dinah Ross, I'm not altogether sure about. If you've seen it, have you seen it?
Yes. I think I've been thinking that about Dinah Ross performances for about 20 years. But it was, I thought it was a good eclectic lineup, and like opening with Queen. I mean, Queen are a classic opener, aren't they, like that? And Adam Lambert is an amazing singer, isn't he? He's a really, really good singer performer, and he's not trying to be anyone else. He's a great singer.
Who was he with before?
He originally started out on American Idol.
Yeah, right.
And he got to the final or whatever, and he did his final duet with Queen. And Queen afterwards approached him and said, like, that was genuinely really, really good. We're here for a bit of American Idol stuff. And then it invited him to sing with the band. But he's had a solo career as well. But the opener with them doing We Will Rock You with all the Queen's guards and all the rest of it. And it, Brian May appears in front of the monument playing the solo again. And that's 20 years since he played on Buckingham Palace for the Golden Jubilee. Remember, he played on the roof there and Madness played and all the rest of it?
Yeah.
20 years passed. But yeah, I thought it was a good mix in terms of for that kind of thing.
Some of it was a bit random.
Really good.
Yeah, yeah. Elbow was great. Some of the artists were a bit random, but, you know, appreciate that Gen Z need to be spoken to. It's not just old farts. But it was I actually rather enjoyed the whole thing.
I thought it was pretty well done. And other highlight, Alicia Keys was brilliant, wasn't she?
Oh, man, she was amazing.
She was good. And yeah. Above Buckingham Palace, for anyone that hasn't seen it, they had a drone display of, like, these drones coordinated and made into, like, a pot of tea and corgis and everything else. But I think surely you're going to see that above more stadium rock concerts as well soon, because, I mean, that is epic and, like, such a cool display. So I think you're going to see more of that. I think they did it above the Super Bowl and stuff as well, didn't they? But anyway, good performance. I'd say highlights were, yeah, like you said, Duran Duran, Alicia Keys, Elbow, and obviously Noel Rogers was rolled out as well.
Yeah, he was good. He played Duran Duran, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Completely missed all of that. Did you say that was Sunday?
I think that was on Saturday night, wasn't it? Well, we were camping it? And
Fair enough. I was just going to say, as we're driving back from a weekend away, everyone was so tired in the car, so I was able to just listen to Six Music uninterrupted for the hour and a half back from there. On came, it was, I think the Gargavi show finished, and on came the one with Nimone, where she's talking to an artist for a while. And it was...
I was listening to that.
It was Mickey Blanco, who I haven't particularly got into. I think they did the one with Michael Stipe recently. And I obviously used to love REM, and thought I'd really like the song. I was a bit like underwhelmed by it, and I was going to turn it over, but actually Nimone's really good at doing the interview there. And there was one of the facts that he was chatting about gay or queer icons for Pride Month, and one of them, I was just like, I had no idea they were connected. He started talking about loving the Riot Girl movement when he was younger, talking about Bikini Kill, who I remember a couple of the tracks, but and quite liking them, but not in the same way that I liked L7 or Breeders or a few of these other kind of girl bands at the time. But he then mentioned that they went on to, or the main person that went on to form the Tigre. And I was like, I had no idea about that.
No, I didn't know that either.
Love these little tidbits you pick up on the radio from time to time. But yeah, just really interesting chat.
I thought he was a really good guest, actually.
Yeah, came across really, really well. Enjoyed it. And like I say, with the music, I've been a bit meh about it, but I really enjoyed the chat and I was engrossed. And when we got home, I had to go and turn the radio inside just to finish it all off as well. So that was just a really nice chat. Sorry for interrupting. Ian, anything else from you?
Kate Bush is back in the charts.
I was going to mention that, yeah.
Did you see that as well? So for those who don't know, Running Up This Hill was used in Stranger Things' latest series of Stranger Things, which I haven't seen yet, so please don't discuss or post comments about it, thank you. But it's used on repeat to like one of the characters, Max, her theme apparently, or recurring theme. And it's given Kate Bush her first top 10 US hit, would you believe? Never been inside the US top 10. And it's now a TikTok sensation. I had a quick look. It was, as well as being a TikTok sensation as well, like my daughter who's 12, is enjoying it for the first time. But also it was streamed a million times a day on Spotify last week. And it was that was only beaten by Harry Styles, as it was.
Oh, wow.
And it's also, more to the point, Kate Bush, previous nominee to the Never Love and Elvis Hall of Fame.
It was me.
So you can see a trend emerging. but she's famously reclusive, right? And even she's commented about it. So
she's thanked everyone, hasn't she?
She has.
The Stranger Things fans and everything. That's really nice.
Bringing her music to a new generation, etc., etc. I thought that was great.
How about you, Bez? What's been grabbing your eyes and ears this week?
It was something you mentioned to me. I was looking up because we were talking the other day, and you were on about how Tim Burgess is releasing a version of the yellow, the famous yellow jacket that he wore in the How High video for the Charlatans.
Yeah.
So I was reading about that jacket and like how he was promised it and he never got it. And then so he's made his own version of it. And then he's releasing it at an incredibly high price.
Yeah, it's toppy.
It's 125 quid for a pack of Mac or something like that. But the reason actually I mentioned it is because you said it to me and then I'm there on my Facebook feed and then up pops friend of the show.
Stuffed by Mark.
Good friend of the show, really good friend of the show.
Mark Reynolds.
Friend of the show, stuff by Mark Reynolds, yeah. And he's designed a postcard, hasn't he? You've seen it, Kev, yeah. He's designed a postcard that you get with the jacket when you buy it, which is a cool little postcard. It's like a comic cover of Tim Burgess flying into space with his magic jacket. It looks really cool. So I just thought that was nice, and I just thought it's worth a mention. You can buy it at Hikadelic.com.
It looks great. It does look very good. Yeah. It does look very good, but not for me.
But a lot of money. And I know, bright yellow jacket. I'm probably a bit old for that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
No.
And I thought you
come on, mate. You carry that off. Come on.
Yeah, I think you'd look really cool. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Right, I'll get it then.
I'll get it.
Or Tim Burgess, if you're listening, which you probably are, if you want to send one our way, we could all wear one.
We'll all just take it in turns wearing one if you've got one to spare.
Yeah, we could swap it around. I don't know if I want to wear a jacket after Kev.
Yeah, it's a great right. look for a podcast.
I'll wear it after you, mate.
And then I'll keep it.
Thank you for downloading the Never Loved Elvis podcast. It's really great to have your support. Thank you so much. I just want to do a quick message to just highlight another way in which you could help the show if it's something that you're into. What you could do is, if you download this from Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your pods, and if you just leave a little 5-star rating and a review there, it really helps the podcast grow in it, and it's very much appreciated. You could, if you wanted, you could do it now. You've got your phone handy. You could just pick it up. Just do it. It only takes a matter of seconds. There, it's done. Wasn't that easy? Yeah, unless you're going to give us a bad rating, then, don't bother. I mean, what's the point? It's just mean-spirited, isn't it? You can also follow us on social media. You can get us at Instagram, @NeverLovedElvis, Facebook, @NeverLovedElvisPod, Twitter, @NeverLovedElvi2, email, @NeverLovedElvisPod@gmail.com, and you can find us on YouTube, Never Loved Elvis Podcast. We really make you work to find us on social media. That's why we have all different names for each one. We like you to earn your time there. But why don't you come over, be part of the community? Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for downloading. Now I'll hand you back to the podcast. Bye.
Okay, so for me this week, there was a couple of things we haven't mentioned yet. One was, do you guys remember the Music Venue Trust doing all that work during lockdown to try and save independent music venues? And they did a phenomenal job of keeping these venues afloat, of lobbying the government, all these kind of things. So
yeah,
they've launched a new one called, I think it's called Own Our Venues. And this is an idea where they are... you might have seen the news recently. There was, I think it was the Leaden Mill in, where is it? Where is Leaden Mill? That's Sheffield, was under threat. So they were looking to similar ones to that and just going, well, what we could do is actually own our own venues, buy them out, and then reduce the rent and make sure it's there forevermore. So they've set a target to buy, I think, nine venues, I think it is, across the UK that are at imminent danger. They're looking to raise £2.5 million from music fans. And in return, of looking for donations between, I think it's £200 and I want to say £100,000. It might be less than that. But that was, £200,000 to £100,000. And you will receive 3% interest on your investment whilst becoming a shareholder in a crowdfunder there. So you get a better return than you would do in a bank account. They They've been pushing it for a couple of weeks. Last time I looked, they were up to, I think, about 10% of the way there. Yeah, so okay. Just shy of quarter of a million pounds. But just a really nice, interesting way of them to actually go, look, we've got a lot of music lovers out there, a lot of people that want to do something. But doing this, you get a return. The venue should always remain there. And just quite a nice different way to go about it.
Yeah, I like That's it. I like it. Idea. Kev, is it they're trying to raise $2 million for 9 venues, did you say?
I think
to
it's
save something three, like 9 three, venues.
9, I can't remember exactly how many it was. I had a okay. look through it and put me on the spot. They're looking before the end of 2020.
Yeah.
We will raise £3.5 million to buy the freeholds for 9 UK grassroots venues. After that, we're going to keep reinvesting to buy, own and protect as many venues as we can. By subscribing for shares issued at the society, you'll become a member, blah, 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 blah. There's Very full nice. Terms and conditions, obviously. It's an investment. So you
one
could,
wonders, like I say, if you're local, right, and you know, you're a music lover, I wonder if they give like a percentage off tickets from that point forward. So whether you get like a 5% or 10% discount from tickets from that point forward as an incentive, that'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you usually get crowdfunded benefits for these things, don't you?
You do normally.
It's great timing actually, because it's probably the catalyst was lockdown and all these venues being at risk, and obviously some of them went. But actually live music feels like it's back with a vengeance now.
Yeah.
We're really up for live performance. Even not live performance, as mentioned earlier with ABBA, but it feels like these venues can survive. We all appreciate it more. People want to put their money into it, I would imagine. I mean, I get excited by the idea of that.
Yeah,
me too. Shout. Yeah,
I'll tell you what. I'll put it out in the socials. I'll send a link so anyone can find it on all the usual places. But well worth a look. As I say, much higher return than you're going to get in a bank account at the moment. And the way that interest rates are rising but inflation is. Might be worth a look. The other thing I was going to mention was I'm a bit jaded tonight. A few of you have mentioned that, because last night I went to Concord 2 down in Brighton to go and see Ride playing the whole of Going Blank Again from start to finish for the first time ever. So they are doing this. They're playing Primavera out in Barcelona this weekend, and they're doing this. And it was a warm-up show, essentially, to practice. And it's a nice-sized venue. We're talking probably a little bit smaller than Wedgwood Rooms, bigger than Boiler Room, down in Brighton Beachfront. But on a Monday night, for the first time ever, it was the easiest time to ever get into Brighton, straight in, parked up just outside the venue. And it was awesome. It was such a good... The warm-up band were very good as well. Can't remember. I'll look their name up, because they were well worth a mention. They were very young, very enthusiastic, very quite punky. The guitar playing was kind of a bit Strokesy, maybe a bit Franz Ferdinand. Maybe that was more the way that they held themselves. But I really, really enjoyed them. They were just really, really nice to see them so enthusiastic. And Lounge Society, that was who it was. Album's out this August, but they were well worth a look.
Okay, did you say the Lounge Society?
Yeah, Lounge Society. Okay. I don't know how old they are. I would say the late teens, early 20s. Nothing to them. They just look so small in comparison to the average age of 50 in the Ride crowd, who could have all been their mums and dads, to be honest. But they made a great sound and great attitude as well. Then as I was watching them, I was chatting to an old mate I used to play football with at the bar, and Andy Bell was just stood in front of us checking them out. And then they came on to play, and actually, you know, when you just hear the opening chords of one of your favourite ever songs played up close in a live venue. And I haven't seen Ride play for many years, but to see them doing Leave Them All Behind, and it just reminded me of what a good intro to a song that is. Probably in my top two or three of all time, alongside maybe Cannonball by Breeders or something like that. But it was awesome. And just, again, when they do these albums in sequence, you realise that you know exactly which song's coming next. There's something really nice about that. And then finally, the other thing on doing an album in sequence, which they said this, they've never played the album apart from in the studio that way before. But you do realise that there's, you know, when albums release, bands release albums, there's a bit of filler in there from time to time. And there was one song Andy Bell was just like, yeah, never really liked this song, still don't. And he went through it. And then the next one that came on, he went, but I do really like this. And they went through it. And they just sounded awesome. They looked amazing. They were super tight. Errol Alkin was there as well. They did an encore with a few other bits and pieces, including, I bumped into a mate from uni, flatmate from uni, I hadn't seen in 23 years, that he was like, oh, this is my favourite B-side of all time. I can't believe they're playing it. They never play this one. So there was something for everyone there. It was just such a nice gig, very friendly, pain in the ass to get to on a Monday night down in Brighton, but it was really, really good. So feeling a bit jaded because of that one, but well worth it.
Oh, and mate, that sounds really
that
good.
That sounds like a good one.
Yeah.
That sounds good. So Leave Them All Behind is the opening track on Going Blank Again, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's it.
So that's how they open the gig, with that?
Yeah.
All 8 minutes of it.
That bass line. Just amazing.
That is a hell of a build.
And they were saying that, you know, there's a sample in one of the songs there, you know, even a stopped clock tells the right time twice a day. They were like, you know, we really wanted to use a sample, and we had to go to Whittle and I had been a bit of an underground film at the time and hadn't really had too much coverage. So we had to go to Handmade Films and ask them all about it. And they were like, yeah, of course. We were on the way up. It hadn't really made huge waves. So getting the sample through was quite easy at that time. And then 2 years later, it suddenly became a huge cult classic. And so little insights like that in between, they just seemed really happy, really relaxed, but very tight in the musical sense as well. So I've really, really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. But waffling a little bit, so it's probably time to move on to a game. Bez, what have you got for us this week?
Bez's game. It's a classic.
It's cryptically titled, though.
I mean, yeah, it's I mean, what's it? Yeah, what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, it means it's Bez's game.
I did.
Let me just get it up. So
I did awfully at this week last week.
You did.
Yeah.
You did. There's not really much I can say. So I've got four for you. The way Bez's games work, if you're new to it, is I have selected some famous people, some famous musicians, artists. I'm going to give you clues, and you need to try and work out who it is I'm referring to, right?
Yep.
So we'll go for the first one. It's a traditional start, born 9th of June, 1978. So it gives you a ballpark.
9th of June,
gives you an idea of where we're at. 1978, about our age.
Robbie Williams. Kevin Robbie Williams.
Well, he was on. He was the other week, wasn't he, Robbie Williams? It's unlikely we'd do him twice.
Well, you didn't.
Although I might. I did, didn't I?
No, but he popped up as one of the. A bit like him.
Was he a clue? Oh, yeah. I might do Robbie Williams next time. Not Robbie Williams.
This is excellent.
Was it Elton John I did? Who did it do? Robbie Williams was...
It was Brandon Flowers.
Brandon Flowers, that was it. He'd worked with Robbie
That's
Williams.
That's it.
Pete never got it, did he? Pete never got it.
I don't get this. I'll give you that. Go on.
Right, so I'll move on. I'm known for my eccentric stage persona and wide tenor vocal range.
Kevin, is it... Jake from the Scissor Sisters.
I love that answer. No.
That was a good answer.
Jake from that was a good answer.
Thanks, mate.
I would not have even been able to name anyone from the Scissor Sisters.
Jake Shears. Clever, isn't it?
Ugh. Scissors.
Yeah.
No?
No.
Another clue?
Yep.
Ian?
Go on. Yep.
My band has sold over 30 million records worldwide. Born end of June 1978, eccentric stage persona, a wide tenor vocal range, 30 million records sold worldwide. I don't think it gives you too much, does it, that?
No.
It's just someone who's sold a lot of records.
It's the same age as us.
Eccentric. And it's got a wide tenor range.
Eccentric stage persona could be many folk.
Yeah. Right, this one might do it. I don't know whether it will or not, but this next clue might do it. So be quick. Get ready with your name. Ian, Pete, Kev. My band has won 2 Grammys for Best Rock Band. The first was for The Resistance. The second was for Drones.
Ian.
Yes.
Is it Matt Bellamy?
It is Matt Bellamy. Well done. Well done.
Yeah, very good.
He is eccentric. And the last
He has got a wide tenor vocal range.
Hasn't he just?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. He's also famously from Torquay, isn't he? Glamorous Torquay.
I should have had that as a clue. You might have got it.
Good fact.
And the last clue was I'm the lead singer of Muse.
Incidentally. I'm going to see Muse in 2 weeks, I think, or 3 weeks. They're headlining the Isle of Wight Festival, and I've never seen them live, so that should be good.
You should have got that.
They're known for their, like, you know, stage shows, right? There's all lasers and crazy shit going on.
Yeah, I saw them once, and it was all like sort of lasers and big, massive, huge inflatable balls in the crowd and all that type of thing. I wasn't particularly into Muse. It was at a festival, but I just went to see him. But I had a good old time. I'll tell you. I had a right old time. Right, next one. So Ian is winning 1-0. Born 10th of May 1957.
57. Which makes them, 65 years old?
Quite old. I have worked. Are we going to guess one?
Yeah,
there?
Kevin Frank Black.
Frank Black. Black Francis.
Yeah, too young for that, but.
No. I don't know. When was he born? No, he must be too young for
that.
Right, next one. I have worked with Brian Eno and Matthew Herbert.
Pete.
Yes.
Madonna.
No.
Kevin.
She's quite old, though. Yes.
Rick Wakeman.
Ooh, the pianist. No.
Hello.
Plays the piano, Pete.
I see. You thought I meant penis, didn't you?
yeah. We'll edit this out, won't we? Carry on.
No, I will definitely not edit this out. Right. Ian, any suggestions?
No, keep it going.
Right, I contributed to the score of the Olympic ceremony.
Pete, Moby. Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
That's
really
good, though. Yeah. Is it good? I don't know.
That's not right.
It's definitely not right. Yeah?
Kate Bush?
Kate Bush was not. Was she involved in it?
I've just taken a punt.
No.
Pete, Billy Idol.
You can't have another guess. Kev, do you want to say Billy Idol?
No.
No, I do not. It's not correct.
Right, I'll give you another clue. This could be a clincher. Darren Emerson left my group in 2000.
Pete. Robert Palmer.
Well, I know.
No!
So
Robert Palmer.
So I know that.
It's the Brian Eno thing you're getting hung on.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Are we looking for the group or the individual?
It's the individual.
Okay, Kevin. Carl Hyde.
Yes.
All right.
if I'd known that, we'd have got straight in there.
Well, you would have got it, wouldn't you?
Is he that old?
And yeah, well, I was surprised at that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's a bit of a curveball.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and my most famous hit is synonymous with the film Trainspotting. Was the final clue there, right? Good. So it's 1-1. Right. Born August 1948. It's always good to have a punt on these. Kev did it the other week and got Damon Albarn from his date of birth.
1948.
Pete. So as old as my parents. I don't know how old your parents are.
Pete, Keith Richards.
Ooh, no.
Come on.
Right age though, bracket.
Yeah. Kevin. Paul McCartney.
No. Ian?
Ian Rod Stewart.
Ah. Oh, no. Right. My band had great... This isn't going to be any good to you lot. My band had great success from the late 60s to the end of the 70s. Actually, that is quite a good clue.
Ian.
Born August 1948. Yeah.
Ray Davis.
Nope. Born August 1948. Success from the late 60s to the end of the 70s.
Pete.
Yes.
Joe Strummer.
Nope.
Kevin. Diana Ross.
No. I was in a super group called the Hyper Honey Drippers.
Good name.
Yeah.
Kevin. Sly Stone.
Yeah. No. Hey, Ian. The Hyper Honey Drippers. It's a super group. I was going to give you another clue, but I can't now because Kev's already had a guess. No. Should I give you another clue for, about this one and allow Kev back in?
Yeah,
it's,
why not?
It's about the Hyper Honey Drippers.
Yeah, go on then.
So Jeff Beck was in it.
Oh. Kevin.
Yes.
Eric Clapton.
No.
No.
Pete, Neil Young.
No. Ian looks frustrated. It's like there's something there in his head. There's something in his head.
What was the clue before this? Remind me.
The band had great success from the late 60s till the end of the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's not somebody we've... It's not a Hall of Fame nominee, is it?
I can't really give you any more clues.
All right. Ian, I was going to say Robert Plant.
Yes, it's Robert Plant. Well done. It was the late 60s, early 70s. I thought that you might get it there.
It was. It was exactly that bit. I didn't know about the Hyper Honey Drippers, though.
No, I didn't either. No, never heard of them.
What was your last clue?
The last clue was... Oh, well, there's two more clues. In 2001, Rolling Stone readers voted me the greatest singer of all time. And my band split up in 1980 after the untimely death of my drummer. Of its drummer, yeah. So there we go. Right, next one. Born December the 18th, 2001.
Ian.
Yeah.
Billie Eilish.
Yes. Smashed it, hasn't he? Smashed it. I'm really glad you got that quickly because I only had two clues for this. I frantically had Wikipedia up.
Was it youngest head solo headliner at Glasgow the next
clue? No, the next one was I first gained attention in 2015, then they had nothing, so I was just like...
wing it.
So, yeah, well done, Ian. Yeah,
the only 21-year-old singer the average 45-year-old's heard.
Yeah, that's true. I just thought we'd had a couple of old ones, so I thought I'd go for a young one. Well, there we are. Round of applause, everyone.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Well done, Bez. What were the scores there?
For me.
It was 3 to Ian, 1 to Kev. Yeah, and that was it.
Yeah, but I think I contributed and tried really hard this week, so I'd like a certificate, please.
Okay, you can have a sticker, and you Thank can you. Have a you attended certificate to put on your fridge.
Nice. I'll send you a stamp to dress down.
Okay, so this week we're going to start introducing something a little bit different. We talk all about lots of bands that we've loved over the years, all the way through back to the, I guess, 60s, 70s, all the way through to modern day, but maybe not quite as many up-and-coming bands. So we thought it might be a good opportunity to promote one or two of these bands. So firstly, if you do know anyone either unsigned or newly signed that would like to play out the show, please drop us a line at the usual addresses. But Bez, you've got someone this week that you were wanting to introduce.
Yeah, so this artist, his name is Jamie Busanco. He hails from the Northwest, from a shipyard town up in the Northwest, Barrow-in-Furness, where he's sort of big on the scene up there. He had his first album out in 2015, actually. It was called Echolocation. And then that was racking up appearances on things like BBC Introducing. He supported Ocean Colour Scene, The Wedding Present. and things like that along the way. So I think it'd be really cool to sort of give him a little bit of play on here. So have a listen. So if you like what you hear, we'll pop a link on the socials. Go and check him out on Spotify and all those types of places. And this is a song called Just a Moment.
And we will catch you next time for the Never Loved Elvis Hall of Fame. Thanks for listening, guys.
Songs are everywhere.